Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in, and I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get your notepad and a pen, call a friend, call a neighbor, let them know we are on the air teaching the Word of God. I want to take you now into a message we did here at our Baton Rouge location, and I believe it's going to be a blessing to your life. The message is entitled, A Change of Mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, let's go into the message now, already in progress, A Change of Mind. God bless you.
Go to Romans chapter 12, and I want y'all to hear the word of the Lord. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, look, don't let nobody twist this right here. It means what it says. God said what he meant what he said right here. God wants you to present yourself holy. So any teaching that says grace cover me when I'm sinning, that's just not the Bible. God said, I beg you by the mercy. Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God that any time. When do you present yourself before God? Every time you wake up, even when you go to sleep, you present it to God. When is God not present? When are we not supposed to present ourselves to God? There's really no time. So you present yourself to God. It says, bodies as living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now the scripture says, this is just reasonable. I mean, common sense tell you that. Just being logical. You know, you ain't got to be so deep. So all these messages that's floating around in the body of Christ and all these, that ain't God. The scripture is absolutely clear what God requires. So he says, it's your reasonable service. And Paul said, I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, if this is what's acceptable to God, how then we can embrace a message that says something else is acceptable? Okay, then he go on to say, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be conformed. Don't become like the world. Don't become like the world that's in the church. Don't become like that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He tell you how to be transformed. The mind got to be renewed. You got to have a change of mind. You got to repent in your mind. You got to change your mind about a lot of things we don't even learn in the church. You got to literally change your mind about it. If you don't change, because God, here's what God showed me. We'll preach truth, and as many people that sit under the truth, that are sit right there under the truth, and they're here, but they say, yeah, Apostle, I understand. I hear you, but that ain't me. And God said, there are people sitting, they'll hear this, and in their mind, there ain't no repentance, because they still believe a lie. And they'll say, amen. They'll say, yeah, that's in the Bible, but they'll still hold on to their opinion of what the scriptures say. And so, it's, you know, that the Bible clearly says that be renewed. It says be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There will never be a transformation in a saint's life unless they renew their mind right here. In the scriptures that we're about to present. Not that I'm just presenting it. It's just the Bible. And it's been the Bible since the Bible was established. It just haven't been preached on a large scale. And God said, I got to find somebody in the body that's brave enough to preach the mind that was established in the book. Otherwise, the body gonna go wind up going to hell and thinking they pleasing God because nobody preaching. Why? Because how can they hear without a preacher? How can the body hear God's mind and God's heart without somebody, whoever they may be, preaching it? How can they hear? They won't hear. Somebody got to preach it. And you got to preach it if you never reach it. But I guarantee you, if you preach it, you'll reach it. And if you don't reach it, you ain't repented in your mind. Hallelujah. So you'll never have a transformed life until you change your mind. Now, I want to put this first verse in context. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore. When you see therefore, this word right here, therefore, whenever you see that in a scripture, it's connecting something together that he usually just said. And he said, therefore. Now I'm going to back up in chapter, the chapter preceding this one, and show you what he said. So you'll understand this verse here when he said, therefore I beg you. Okay? And keep in mind that when this letter was written, it was just a letter written to the church. It was a letter that didn't have chapters and verses. We men put chapters and verses in there. God, when the letter went out, when this letter went out to the Romans, there was no chapters and verses in here. You got to understand that. It was just a letter inspired by God that Paul sent out. And it wasn't chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. It was just a letter. Okay? And I'm not saying chapters are bad, because it's good, because it helps us find what we want real quick. So chapters and verses are good. But keep in mind, there were no chapters and verses when the letter went out. Okay? So you have to understand this verse 1, where he said, I beseech you, therefore, you got to back up and see why the therefore is there for. I'm laboring here already. That's what I do. I labor in the word. Thank God for you internet audience. We labor in the word, because this is the only thing going to save your soul. A lot of folks think they're going to be saved, and they believe in a lie. I heard a man just yesterday, no, 2 or 3 days ago, popular man. The balcony was packed. The whole auditorium packed, thousands of people. This man said, when Jesus got on, see, he was belittling what Jesus did on the cross. He said, when Jesus got on the cross and said, it is finished, here's what he said. Told all them people that, and all the folks went crazy, clapping, praising God. They weren't praising the true and living God. Here's what that man said. That man said, when Jesus said, it is finished, he said, you don't have to follow Jesus Christ anymore, because he did it all at Calvary. You don't have to follow Jesus now to please God. And everybody in the auditorium went crazy. I'm like, where are the Christians that here couldn't believe their Bible? Say this very slick Bible said, in the latter days, some going to depart from the faith. How? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You ain't going to see a devil walk up in the pulpit. You're going to see devils trying to get in people that folks admire. The body admires certain people. And you admire them so much that you take everything they say. You got to know when the admirers have detoured. And you need to try to win them. Say, wait a minute, I admire you, but if apostle say something that's not in this book, your first thing is apostle. You got to show me that. Yeah. Prove that by the word. And if I can't, and you can't win me, you need to exit. Now, people not exiting here because we're not preaching today. Exiting because they can't endure it. Go back to chapter 11. And let's see why Paul said, therefore. Okay. Chapter 11. And look at verse 32. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Now, generally, he's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, because the Jews thought they had it going on because they had the laws, the covenants, and they really thought they knew God, even though they are They were then and still now God's chosen people. But they, the very things that were revealed to them, they didn't even have the revelation of it. If had they had that revelation, they wouldn't have killed Jesus Christ. So they thought they had it going on, but they really didn't, because they didn't have the revelation of what God was doing and saying. And so what happened is God said, in order for me to save the Jews and the Gentiles, God just had to consider all of them unbelievers. He said, I had to have mercy on everybody, because all of them were just unbelievers and in unbelief. Now watch this. The Bible said, now if you continue in unbelieving and unbelief, the scripture says in Revelation 21 in verse 8 that all unbelievers shall find their place in the lake. All unbelievers, in other words, when God convinces you of his mind and his message and the real truth, and you decide to stay in your own mindset and you decide to believe your own doctrines, and you won't change your mind and you won't repent, then God's word, because see, the Bible said he's going to judge us by the things in the book. God's word declare that if you don't believe his message, all unbelievers will find their place in the lake of fire. So God said, I have to conclude all of them just unbelievers, all of them. But now he don't want the Jew and the Gentile and the church, and especially this modern day church, to remain in unbelief. So therefore, a real message is going to have to surface in the body of Christ. All of them unbelievers. I just had to have mercy on all of them. Then Paul come in the first, in chapter 12, first verse. Now I beseech you by the mercies, because God had mercy on you, I beg you now to listen to who God really is and now change your mind. Yeah, yeah. That's what that scripture is saying. Yeah. Now, for those that won't change their mind, and especially preachers, for those of you that won't change your mind, then God's going to have to conclude you also in unbelief, and you stand the chance of also being a part of the lake of fire. All God got to skip around that verse. Amen. Now, so we're talking about a mind change. We're going to have a mind change in the 21st century. The body going to need a mind change, because they got a lot of messages out there. I'm telling you, it's sadder than I thought it was. Y'all hear me talk about these things, but man, it's getting serious. And when an international man, and especially your major, I'm telling you, I'm a defender of the faith. That's my job. I'm a defender. All those who are truly called by God and sent to represent him are defenders and contenders for the faith. Now, for these little Christians that sit around and say, why are they always talking or picking on people? Why are they all? That's their job, to defend the faith. To sound an alarm, that's their job. So if you don't understand a person's job, shh. Because the Bible said, murmuring will get you in trouble with God. I'm going to get back here, but do you not know the majority of people who call me, my wife is my witness and others, the majority of people who's calling me from the radio are preachers. I had one preacher call me last week. He said, man, I listen to your message every time you're on the air. Now, how many of y'all know hell is not a bad word? It's a word. It's bad. Hell is bad. And I'm saying this because I'm going to tell you what he said. I said, well, man, I like to be called a good preacher, but I ain't never been called that. He said, man, I listen to your message. You are one hell of a preacher. He meant it in a good way now. And don't y'all get offended by that, because that's just how he expressed himself. And hell, not a curse word. And don't you young people take that and take it and put it in the wrong context, okay? But then I had another one call me, and he said, this preacher said, now these are preachers, not leadership. I'm speaking to leaders, believe it or not. You just don't know what this ministry is doing in the body. You may don't look around in this local ministry and think you understand the impact of God, okay? Okay? But anyway... this other preacher called me. He don't even listen to the radio, because he said, man, it just ain't nothing out there. It's just, now, I didn't say this now. This is this preacher talking. He said, they just rehatching stuff. You know, they talking about the world, and I don't even listen to the radio. And so one day he was coming from fishing, And he was about to fall asleep in his truck. Now, this is his testimony. He about to fall asleep, and so he had to shake his head. And he said, I'm going to turn the radio on just to stay woke. And when he turned the radio on, I'm on there preaching. And this preacher woke up and said, who is this? This man got a message. I'm telling their testimony. And the man said, before I went off, he was ready to repent and come to the altar in his truck when he finished listening to the message. That's his testimony. I didn't say that. And then he realized, I know this preacher. And he called me. And I keep getting call after call after call. One preacher said he had changed his life, what he heard. And some people come here every Sunday and don't change their life. When a word like this go international, everybody going to say, look at it. Now, don't awe then. You need to awe when you hear it in repentance. There's a lot of folks, I'm telling you, I can't pronounce nobody in hell. I ain't got no hell to put you in. I ain't got no heaven to put you in. But if this book is true, and it is, I can declare that if you stay going that route, you're going to wind up in hell. Okay, we need to have a mind change. You cannot hear the true mind and heart of God and the true message of God and keep going your way. If you do, you're fooling yourself. You're literally fooling yourself, because some people hear this and they'll outwardly pretend like they agree, but they never have a change of mind. And if you never have a change of mind about these scriptures, Bible said when you hear the truth, it says, be ye doers of that truth and not hearers only. Watch this. Anytime you hear the truth and don't repent and do the truth, here's an operation that automatically go in place, whether you know it or not. You deceive yourself automatically. It ain't no ifs, ends, or buts. When you hear a word from God that can be proven by more than one scripture, because it got to be at least two or three witnesses in this book to prove a doctrine, you can't take no one scripture out and say, this is the mind of God. That's what one preacher we dealing with now. And he took one scripture and said, everybody going to sin. Took one scripture and built his doctrine on that one scripture in light of hundreds of others that say, you know, you can live without sinning. That's scary. And that somebody want to something from the Bible to support their lifestyle. And God never wrote a scripture to support someone's lifestyle opposed from his life. Never. Okay, so we're going to have a change of mind, a change of heart. And that's what true repentance is. The first message on the day of Pentecost was repent. If the church don't repent in this hour, if the pulpit don't repent, I'm talking about truly repent. You can't hear God and then in your mind you still embrace that mindset you got. Now, we're talking about a change of mind. Okay, I want to run through a few scriptures. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them because I don't have that much. I have all the time in the world, but I ain't going to use it today. Amen. Okay, go through these scriptures, Nisha. I think you got them up there. Let's go through these and make sure the internet can see them. And thank you, David, for following us, because sometimes we move so much and those people down there on the internet say, well, look, we can't see you. So I want the internet to see them. Let's just run through these real fast. And I'm going to try to comment on each one of them. Now watch this. When I run through these scriptures are not my mind. They are not my doctrine. They are the scriptures. And let's look at what they are saying. You can go next week. I used to say in your spare time, no, go as soon as you can. And look at them all in context, and you look at the context of them. But I don't have the time to look at all the context and read all the other scriptures around them. So I'm going to have to give you what the scripture said. No, I'm going to let the scripture say what the scripture said. So let's look at these scriptures. Now, these scriptures, these are the mind of God. This is how God sees things. Now, if this is not how you see things, then you got your own gospel. You got your own mind of what God's saying. And I mainly preach to somebody else got this and they preaching it. These apostles preached it. But anyway, let's go on and look at these few scriptures. Hebrews 7 and 19. Now watch this. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure this out. And I'm going to tell you what he's saying and you can look at the scripture. And common sense said that's what the scripture's saying. Look at it. For the law, the Old Testament, the old system that God had in place that he was going to abolish. He abolished the system, not the word of truth that was in the system. Because, see, some people think that, well, since we're not under the law anymore. See, and in the law, there was ten major commandments that James called in the New Testament the royal law. The royal law was not abolished. The royal law. But when you say the law, you're talking about the old covenant. But in the old covenant, there was 10 things God was adamant about. When he ended the old covenant, he didn't lose his zeal about those 10 things, he said, just because he ended the law. Because James defined that. And he called it now the royal law. And he said, if you offend in one point, you've offended in all. God's still adamant about don't go commit adultery. Under the new covenant. He's still adamant about don't lie. He's still adamant about that. And even though he ended the old covenant, there were certain truths in the old covenant that didn't end. He just said, I'll take them off stones and now place them in your heart. Y'all understand that? Body, you understand that? Because I'm telling you, it's all kinds of teaching and it's confusing people. But God took the royal law out of the old covenant and now just put it in your heart. Okay, if he didn't put it in your heart, why when you lie, you feel bad inside? If it's done away with, why when you go do wrong or you cheat or you do these things, something inside of you, why? Because it's in your heart. So when people say we're not under the law, rightly divide that, please. He's talking about the law, the old covenant, the rituals, the offering of bulls and goats. There was over hundreds of different rules and regulations under the old covenant that nobody could keep. That's ended. But he took that royal law, the royal truth, out of the system of the law and placed it in every believer, in your heart. He didn't write the rituals. I didn't mean to spend this much time. But anyway, for the law made nothing perfect. Nothing. Y'all see that? That Old Testament. And God knew it. It was just, he said, for the law made nothing perfect. Watch this. But, somebody said, but. The bringing in of a better hope did. He said that old system I had in place made nothing perfect. But this new system did. Did what? Made perfect. Why would these preachers get in the pulpit? Nobody's perfect. I know what they're talking about. I understand. Nobody humanly perfect. Okay, I understand that. I'm not humanly perfect. But we're not talking about human beings. We're talking about God's word and what God means by perfect. God said that if you get born again and you obey me, I, God, will declare you perfect. So how then you can't be that? And why do a preacher keep getting in the pulpit saying nobody's perfect? And why you saints keep swallowing the yes, amen, Pastor, I understand. Why? When the Bible said the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Now, I'm preaching it if nobody else preaches it. I'm preaching it if I never reach it. But I thank God that when I start preaching it, that word brought me. Help me, Holy Ghost. When I started to preach it, I hadn't reached it. Y'all know I tell you that all the time because I ain't ashamed. I'm not ashamed. And when I first started preaching it, I went out and stumbled. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just trying to be real with you. But I didn't, when I stumbled, when I first started, I didn't get up and say, well, nobody's perfect. Let's go back and preach. You human, you gonna sin. Wow. No, I'm not gonna preach that. That is not God's mind and heart. And nobody got a right to get up and preach that to sons and daughters. God ain't never sent one preacher to preach that message. Not one. He didn't tell me to preach my humanity. Let me give you a confirming scripture. Go find the one I showed you, Sister Garden, 2 Corinthians 4. I think it's 5. So you don't think I'm preaching something on my own. See, look, every pulpit in this world going to have to confirm to this message in this book for God to have the bride that he said he's coming back to look for. But the bride that he's looking for now is not ready. Because I'm gonna elaborate on this in a minute. There has been an antichrist message preached from pulpits all over the world, and it has produced antichrist in the church, not Christ. And God's message is the only thing that can produce Christ. Read that scripture. I think it's 2 Corinthians. I'm just trying to prove to you now, God did not call me to preach, nor you to preach. If you're preaching this, you've been called by yourself. God did not call neither one of us to preach our personal humanity to the people. And whenever we do that, you're preaching an antichrist message. He didn't tell you to preach your human faults, your human flaws, the human side of you. He said, preach divinity. Read that scripture, confirm what I'm saying.
But we preach not ourselves.
Paul said, we preach not ourselves. I ain't got no right to preach myself. And pastor get up and say, well, ain't none of us perfect. You're going to make a mistake. That could be true in many cases. Is true. But you ain't got no right preaching that. None. Because that's not going to bring that fault-filled person out of his fault and make him live in the spirit. Only God's preaching bring people to the spirit.
Well, praise the Lord. We're going to have to cut into the broadcast. Our time is just about up. But I want to thank you for tuning in today, and I hope and pray the word has been a blessing to your life. If you'd like to have a free copy of the message, why don't you give us a call at 225-802-5613. That's 225-802-5613. 225-802-5613. Amen. A change of mind. We need a change of mind in the time in which we're living. God is coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. The Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 16, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which means you won't live in sin. We can live holy 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, until Jesus come. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23 says, and I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. That is the message that we stand for, live, and preach. And I encourage those of you that love the Lord, let's be ready when the trumpet blow. This is Apostle Lewis said, we love you, thank God for you, and remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.